Hello and welcome back to the Grace Fueled Wife podcast. I'm your host, Beatrice Vargas. And this week, we're going to be talking about how to build a solid foundation in marriage. I know we spent a lot of time, maybe almost too much time, talking about how to reconcile our marriages and how to deal with the problems. But I'm all about prevention. What I would love to see is us building strong marriages before we get to the place of serious disengagement or separation. So I hope you're going to take notes because we are going to have four tactical steps to build a solid foundation in your marriage today. Are you sitting in a marriage that feels empty, struggling to connect with your husband? Maybe you're telling yourself you're just sticking it out for the kids, and what really keeps you in the marriage is God. If this is you, I've been there. My story is your story. I want to help you reconnect in marriage and feel cherished again. Hey, I'm Beatrice, a Jesus-loving wife and mom. I've been married for 15 years, but for the past 10, I've actually had the affectionate and connected marriage I've always dreamed of. What happened the first 5 years? Well, I was busy telling my husband all the things he was doing wrong, like how he needed Jesus and he needed to make me happy. We tried marriage counseling, small groups, all the things we were told that would make our marriage better. Nothing worked, and we separated. How did I turn it around? Well, that's what you'll learn in this podcast. Proven skills to communicate better, create more intimacy, and be a grace-fueled wife. So if you're ready to finally communicate effectively with your husband so you can stop fighting and be on the same team again, this podcast is for you. Now grab that journal and let's jump right in. All right, so I hope you have your notebooks ready because we are going to get started with an exercise that I do in the group coaching program. So we do this with every woman who comes in. Every time it's her first meeting, this is what we start with. And what we do is I have her on a scale of 1 to 10, I have her rate her marriage. So a 1 being the lowest, worst it could be, we're talking about divorce, right? 10 being the best marriage ever. She's so happy. Probably wouldn't even be in the group coaching program if it were a 10. The reason why we do this is because you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you're starting from. If you're going to go ahead and look for directions in the GPS, you need a starting point. We have to know what we're working with. It also helps us to measure our progress. So we start there, and I have her tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say your marriage is? And the other thing is I qualify. What does that look like? So a 5 is going to be pretty neutral. Most people who are in healthy, happy marriages, they're going to be anywhere between a 5 and a 10. So on their worst days, maybe the marriage is at a 5. And on the best days, maybe we're looking at like an 8 or 9, or maybe even a 10. So just because your marriage does get to a 5, we're looking at an average of where it is. But it's just to help you to understand. 5 is neutral. 5 is not divorce, but maybe not the happiest marriage ever. And typically what I'm going to find is that the women that I work with, their marriages are going to be anywhere from a 3, 2 or 3 to a 5 or 6. And we are going to work there. But what I'd like to do is before your marriage gets to that point where it's 2 or 3 or 4, we'd like for everyone really to be working today on the steps that they could take to get their marriage at least to a 5, at least to a neutral, and then start moving it up from there so that your everyday is better than neutrals. The other thing I want you to think about is where are you personally, aside from your marriages? Because I think so often our marriages become an idol in our life, and we are so focused on saving the thing, working the thing, making it better, putting our husband first, that we forget about ourselves. We forget to take care of ourselves. And when we do that, we can't show up for the marriage, for our family, for our children. we can't show up as well as we would normally. Now, we think we're doing the right thing by giving them everything. But what we're doing in return is we're hurting ourselves. We're building these things that I'm going to talk about later. These things will start to develop that actually cause the marriage harm. So now that you have your two ratings, one, where is your marriage? And two, where do you stand in your mental health? If I wasn't making that clear enough before, those are the two separate things that we are going to rate right now. Before we move on to step number two, I want to make the point that this exercise that we do in group coaching is then followed up by the series of steps that I've put together to really work on your marriage, whether that means helping you walk through separation or really building a deep, intimate connection in your marriage. When your husband seemingly is not putting in the effort, if you're looking for something where your husband does put in the effort and you're both on the same page with that, if that's the case, I'm going to go ahead and suggest that you check out the Marriage Lab. That's restory.life/thrive. That's restory.life/thrive. And that will be the Marriage Lab membership I talked about last episode, where if you enter GFW in the coupon code, it will save you $20 off your monthly membership. If that's you, that's perfect. That's where you would go and take your marriage to work on it, because you're both invested on working on it together. For those of you who are not in that place and you're really looking to move your marriage to the next level, then what you would be looking at is either the group coaching or the DIY self-study course. And what we do in the group coaching is you get 20 to 30 minutes a week of hot seat coaching. And I have multiple times that you would be able to sign up for it. And you will get your hot seat 101 along with the step-by-step guide I have in the course. The other option I've added is a DIY version of the course. So if you want to be able to do it and you're not able to meet the grouply week sessions, or you really want to do it on your own, or maybe even you're nervous about being in a group and you'd rather see me one-on-one alongside the course, you can do that as well. And there's a less expensive option there, and you can just do the course DIY. As always, you can check that out at gracefieldmarriagemethod.com. That's gracefieldmarriagemethod.com. Step number two is going to be, I want to take some time for you to envision, what does a level 10 marriage look like? What do you guys do in the morning when you wake up? What does he say when he comes home? What does he help you with? What are the positive things that are happening in the marriage? And I want you to think about not just the things that he does, but also what are the things that you do? So maybe if you start by thinking about what are the things that he does and you think about what your responses to those things would be, let's start there. So as we start to envision, what does a level 10 marriage look like? What steps, what actions are both you and him taking? And I want you to really take a moment to visualize that in your head, because we're going to use that for step number three. Perfect. Now that you have this vision in your head, step number three, I'm going to give you four tactical things that we are going to do and not do in our marriage. Number one, what I want to see you do, this is in Gottman coaching, you will see a lot of this, or in Gottman therapy, you will see a lot of this. We call this a gentle startup. And so what this means is when you want something, instead of saying, you this, you that, da da da, you know, where you're verbally attacking his personality or character, and he might even be doing that to you. Now, if he's doing it to you and it's a lot, you know, that gets into a whole lot of all the conversations we've had in the past about, is this verbal and emotional abuse? But we're assuming now that he doesn't verbally attack you. But if your marriage is on the lower end of this scale, this may be something that's going on, where there's some verbally attacking of the personality or the character. So instead of doing that, what I want you to do is use an I statement and instead express a positive need. So this is going to be, I feel blank, I would like blank. So you just basically say what you need. I feel frustrated that the kitchen is a mess. I would like for you to clean it. You can even say it a little softer. I would love for you to help me clean the kitchen today. Now, when we do that, we call that, this is an antidote. So again, These four steps are actually, I don't want to pretend that I made these up. These four steps come from Gottman Coaching. I've talked about Gottman Theory and Gottman Therapy quite a bit, and they have done tons and tons and tons of research. And they have a whole institute where they really help marriages, they help couples, but they also help train therapists. And they have coined this little thing called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And they say that these are the four things that really help to predict divorce. And in the research, they found that Dr. Gottman can basically within a few minutes of watching a couple interact, they can predict with a 90% accuracy whether or not a couple will end up divorced later. And the four things that they found that each couple that they predicted would end up in divorce, they found four of these behaviors. So what I'm here to do is walk us through what are the good behaviors that we should be doing. And then I want us to see, how does this align with what this idea, this vision of a level 10 marriage will look like? Just so you have a roadmap of where we're going this episode. So number one, we're going to look for a gentle startup. That means we're going to avoid criticism. We are going to avoid verbally attacking his personality or his character, and instead saying, I feel blank, and then just say what you need. I would love this, or I would like that, but make it a positive need. Number two, we're going to foster in our marriage a culture of appreciation. So remind yourself of your partner's like amazing qualities and just find some gratitude for the positive things that they are doing. I'm sure they're not perfect, but I'm sure there's also many good things about them, many reasons why you married them in the first place. Now, those things may have faded or shifted or moved, but what we're doing is to try to bring some of them back. And if we spend time focusing on the positive, then the negative really starts to dissipate. So one of my favorite sayings is the grass is greener where you water it. So if we're going to water the lawn, water the grass of appreciation and gratitude for our husband, we are going to feel less of the second thing of the four horsemen, which is contempt. Now, contempt means attacking a sense of self with an intent to insult or abuse, right? So contempt is really just really talking to each other in a very, very harsh way, you know, maybe calling each other names, things like that. So if that is going on in your marriage, that's another indicator of divorce. So we want to completely eliminate those behaviors and those actions and replace them with a culture of appreciation. Number three, and I'm sure you guys would be like, yeah, well, if only my husband would do this, but this is something we both want you guys to do. But one of the things is to take responsibility. Now, what does this mean? This means that we're going to accept our partner's perspective. So our husband says, you know, I was annoyed when blah, blah, blah. And instead of coming back and saying, well, I just did that because, or, well, you know, if you would stop this, right? And this may be, again, something that he does to you. But what we're going to do is we can only change ourselves. So if we start to take responsibility by accepting their perspective and offering an apology for anything we might have done wrong, right? Because oftentimes there's something that we could have done better there, and saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have done that better. Now, what this will do is this will protect us from the third horseman of the apocalypse of divorce, and that is defensiveness. And that's when we're victimizing ourselves to ward off a perceived attack, or like this reverse blame where we're like, oh my gosh, stop attacking me. Why don't you look at yourself? Well, in this case, we are going to not do that because we're going to take the time to look at ourselves. Again, I know this does take both of you, but if we start to do it, then we will start to see changes on their side. And again, this does not work if you're in an abusive marriage. So if you think you're in an abusive marriage, stop listening, go ahead and listen to my episode on abuse and get some resources there. But if you are in a healthy marriage, these things will really help you start to see changes. Lastly, what we're going to do is, and I'm just going to call this, like, we're going to have a little self-care. And what happens? This means we get so upset with what's happening in the marriage. Maybe you're upset and you don't want to scream, right? So you're being good. You don't want to say that mean thing. You don't want to criticize. Maybe you don't want to show him contempt. So instead, you don't know what to do with yourself and you shut down. Or, you know, maybe he shuts down, right? But one of you shuts down. What happens when you shut down is now you've completely cut off the lines of communication. You can't go anywhere with that. What are you going to do with that? We call this stonewalling, and that's when you withdraw to avoid conflict or basically convey disapproval. You're upset, you're pissed off, so now you're going to shut down and you're just not going to speak to him. I will admit, I am guilty of this one. I shut down because I'm just trying to hold myself from saying the mean thing. To full disclosure, I'm still even working on helping myself to not be emotionally overwhelmed or emotionally flooded as we get into a disagreement. So the better thing, the thing that both me and you, we could all be doing better here is really some self-care. Now, they call this psychological self-soothing. And what it means is you're going to take a break. Take a break and spend time doing something soothing and distracting. So I've talked about this in episodes before where we call a timeout. We take a break. Now, you can't call a timeout on him. Say, oh, you need a timeout. Oh, you're getting a little cranky there. You need a timeout. You can't do that. That's just going to upset him more. It's for yourself. You call a timeout for yourself and say, you know what? I'm really upset right now. I'm really worked up and I just need a minute. And we're going to give ourselves 30 minutes. It takes at least 30 minutes for this to happen. And if in 30 minutes you're still not ready, you can come back to him and say, I need some more time. But the important part is you're going to tell him, I need a timeout and I'll be back in about 30 minutes. Let him know that you're coming back. How often do either we do it or we watch our partner do it? They shut down and then they never come back. They never address the issue. And we're just like, hello, like you can't just shut down and think it's okay. And then tomorrow morning, think everything is fine and pretend like we didn't just get an argument last night. So what you need to do is let them know that we will address the issue. You just need some time. And what you're going to do is in that time, we're not going to think about the thing that we just went through, which is why sometimes it'll take more than 30 minutes. You're going to do something. Maybe you go for a run. Maybe take a shower or a bubble bath or listen to some music or do something that mentally and physically soothes you and calms your body so that you can come back and have the conversation in a calm, loving way. And then you can start with the gentle startup, right? So all of this is kind of a loop. What we've gone through today is we've gone through some steps, right? We've gone through some patterns of unhealthy relationships and shown how the opposite of those patterns or the antidote is how the Gottmans call it, are what really is going to build a solid marriage. And what they call it is a solid marital house. And by practicing and implementing these skills, these are ways that you can really learn to strengthen your marriage. It's really, really helpful. There's ways that you can walk through these things with a certified Gottman professional like myself or another one, maybe even close by you if you wanted to see one in person. I hope that was helpful to you guys. I try to make it super tactical. Why don't you let me know what you thought? Reply to this week's email or talk to me in the Facebook group this week. Let's talk about what does it feel like? What do you see? Because now that we have an idea for healthy behaviors and for unhealthy behaviors, how does this relate to where is your marriage today? And what does your level 10 marriage look like? You can see that if you look at where your marriage is today, there may be one or maybe two. If there's four, we've really got some work to do, but maybe there might be one or two of these unhealthy behaviors that are happening in your marriage today. And then I'm sure if you look at what you envision your level 10 marriage to be, all four of those healthy behaviors really exist. So that was the point of having you rate your marriage, understand where you are, and see, you can literally see the roadmap of how you get from a 2 or 3 to a 9 or 10. I hope that was helpful for you guys. Really try to bring you tactical information. Join me in the Facebook group. We can have more conversations about this. Reply to my email this week. We can have more conversations about it. And again, if you're interested to work with me, That is gracefueledmarriagemethod.com. gracefueledmarriagemethod.com. Hey, love, I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you found any value in it, any teaching, any transformation, I encourage you to share it with a friend. Click the link, go ahead and share it with a friend, text it to somebody, share it on Instagram, tag me at the Grace Fueled Wife, any of those things, or maybe even write a review. All those things are really the best way that you can thank me, and it helps the show to get found by other amazing women just like you. I love you, and I'll see you on Tuesday for another episode of The Grace Fueled Wife.